Paul says Christians are people who have been set free. They have been liberated from the vice grip of sin. That's what Christians are. Have you ever been liberated?
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Jesus taught that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20, verse 35, according to the word of the Apostle Paul, the pen of Luke. And it's evident in his life that he practiced what he taught. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus is always giving. While he was here, he received very little, except the hostility of pagan men. But he gave everything for your well-being and for mine. And he taught, Jesus taught, that God's giving is always an expression of God's loving, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he taught that God's loving giving is characterized by the giving of the very best that he has. He gave his only begotten Son, the very best that he had, God gives. God gives the very best that he has for you and me. The gifts of God are just like that. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 to 10, shares with us some of God's great gifts, which are ours through Jesus Christ. And they're something that we ought to focus upon, remind ourselves of from time to time, and thank God for, rejoice in. There are three of God's great gifts unfolded in this passage. Number one, there's emancipation, first part of verse 7. To be emancipated means to be set free. You notice Paul says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The redemptive concept is a very precious concept. Men need emancipation from the vice grip of sin. They need an act of power which will extricate them from sin's corrupting influence. And that is precisely what Jesus Christ brought in redemption. That's it, precisely what he gives to us in the truest, in the deepest, and in the most profound sense. Christians are those who have been emancipated. They've been liberated. They've been ransomed and rescued through the awesome expenditure of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed through his blood. That's the first great gift, emancipation. We need to be reminded of it. That's what we have. That's what we are. We are emancipated through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a second gift that Paul deals with here, and he says there's cancellation. Do you notice? The forgiveness of sins. It kind of expands the concept, carries it a little further, gives us an added insight. Not only is there emancipation, there is cancellation. Paul argues that as the result of Christ's redemptive work on the cross, we can now possess not only emancipation from the grip of sin, but also cancellation of the guilt of sin. Sin's power and sin's penalty can be conquered by Christ. Paul says there is emancipation, and then he says there is cancellation. And then thirdly, he says in verses 8 to 10, I want you to see it with me as we unfold these three verses as quickly as we can, there's information. When a man has once experienced emancipation from the grip of sins, and when that's been followed up by cancellation of the guilt of sin, at that point, he needs an immediate access to a continuing and growing body of information, so that he might be free on a daily basis from what we'll call the guile of sin. So Paul unfolds for us some insights into this information that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I think there are three thoughts in verses 8 to 10. Let me share them with you quickly. The first thing I see there is the exercise. It's verse 9. Paul says quite plainly that God made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's a divine exercise. And the second thing I see is the effect of that. What's the effect of it? You have to back up to verse 8 to see the effect. Having made known the mystery of his will, Paul says in verse 9, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 8. The effect of the revelation of this mystery is an abundance of two things, wisdom and prudence. Well, what is the mystery of his will? Let me close with verse 10. What is the mystery of his will that excites us and instructs us and motivates us and helps us to tap into wisdom and prudence? What is that light which God has given to Christians, which other men do not know, and which we have the responsibility to share with them? He tells us in verse 10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Right at the heart of that verse is a phrase, gather together in one all things in Christ. I'm talking to you now about the essence of this mystery. I've given you the exercise, I've given you the effect. Now here's the essence of the mystery, verse 10. The concept is reflected in that phrase, gather together in one. All things in Christ. That is the goal of history. God is going to make Jesus Christ the center of the universe. God has a great eschatological purpose, a purpose for the end of the age. God has a great eschatological purpose. He's going to make Jesus Christ the center of the universe. He has a great personal purpose for every one of us. He ought to be the center of our lives. Paul's phrase, let me talk to you about it for just a moment. Paul's phrase, gather together in one. It's four words in English. It's one word in Greek. Anakephaliao, that's the word. It's a big word. It's a word which is rich in significance and allusion. In the simplest sense, that word, which is translated gather together in one, anakephaliao, in the simplest sense, it speaks of bringing or gathering together many components, all the warring factions, all the warring elements of this world, devastated by sin, filled with animosity and hostility because of sin, divided and separated because of sin. God is going to bring together all the many components into a unity under one person's jurisdiction, and that person is Jesus Christ. Anakephaliao, gather together in one. There are three ideas. One is the idea of restoration. It comes from ana, the little prepositional prefix right at the beginning of the word in Greek. The idea of restoration, ana, carries with it the idea of renewal or of making new again, and the picture is that of a restoration to God's original design and intent with disobedience and disintegration and decomposition done away with. There's the idea of restoration. There's also, right in this word, anakephaliao, there's also in this word the idea of oneness. The word means to sum up in one. Right at the heart of the word, that's what it means, to sum up in one. And that's so critical. In our divided world, the great tragedy of sin is that it always divides. That's why the church, by the way, is to be unified in Jesus Christ. In this divided world, the church is to be an oasis of oneness in a desert of division and hostility. In this divided world, the church is to be an island of love in a sea of hatred and animosity. The whole world is divided. There's a vertical division, man from God. That's the great separation, the fountain of all the others. There's a personal division, man from himself. Every man is a walking civil war, saying yes and no simultaneously to both good and evil things. A walking civil war. There's a personal division. There's a horizontal division. Begins with a vertical, God. And then within ourselves, a personal division. And then there's a horizontal division, man from man. Man's fallenness has broken the social union. Man is divided from man, class from class, nation from nation, ideology from ideology, Jew from Gentile. Everywhere you look, there's division. There's even an environmental division, man from nature. Even the environment is hostile because of sin. Nature is blood red with tooth and claw. Hostile winds and waters devastate human life. Everywhere you look, the world is divided. The day is coming when it's going to be one. It's going to come through the finished work of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, all the warring elements, all the warring factions in this world will be gathered together in one. No more disunity, no more hostility, no more division, no more separation. Unity and oneness in Christ. There's restoration in that word. There's oneness in that word. And finally, there's the idea of lordship in that word. Right at the heart of that word is kephale, anakephaliao. Right at the heart of that word is kephale, and it's the word that means head. In fact, in Ephesians 1 and verse 22, Jesus is said to be the head of his body, which is the church, and the word is kephalein, same Greek word. Jesus Christ already is the head of his body, the church, but one day, Paul says, all things will acknowledge his headship, and then will come the termination of discord and hostility, and then will come the initiation of God's universal peace. That's the concept. Now the chronology. Do you notice he says this will come in the dispensation of the fullness of times? That's the chronology. In the dispensation of the fullness of time. That's Paul's way of referring to the millennial kingdom. The dispensation of the fullness of time. That worldwide reign of God over which Jesus Christ will reign or rule supremely when he returns. It is the dispensation of the fullness of times, because it is the dispensation toward which all the others move and into which all the others empty. The time of the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. That's when that will happen. God will gather together in one all things in Jesus Christ, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when God erects his kingdom on earth at the end of this age. Do you notice the circumference, the comprehensiveness of this oneness? He says it will be all things in heaven and on earth. Paul means that all parts of the material and spiritual creation, without dissenting vote or voice, will acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. Then, Paul says, will come the entire harmony of the universe, which shall no longer contain alien and discordant elements, but of which all the parts shall find their center and bond of union in Jesus Christ. It is a great day. I believe that promise. I know you do too. That day's coming. God has given to us a body of information. And when we tap into it, it gives to us wisdom and prudence. It gives us the necessary insights that we need to conquer the guile, the deceitfulness of sin. Paul says, here are the gifts of God. These are the gifts of God. They belong to every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Emancipation, deliverance from the grip of sin. He calls it redemption. Cancellation, deliverance from the guilt of sin. He calls it forgiveness. Information, deliverance from the guile, the deception of sin. He calls it wisdom. Paul says Christians are people who have been set free. They have been liberated from the vice grip of sin. That's what Christians are. Have you ever been liberated? Have you ever been emancipated? Have you ever experienced redemption? Have you been ransomed and released by the finished work of Jesus Christ? He will emancipate you. He will set you free. Christians are people, Paul says, who are forgiven. He says the guilt of sin is gone. He says to us, if you are laboring under a burden of guilt tonight, come and lay it at the feet of Jesus. He will show you to the way of forgiveness and cleansing. He will cancel your debt. He'll send your guilt away. He bore it for you on the cross. By the way, God has forgiven you if you're a Christian, and he's forgiven me. And you know, there's a powerful moral imperative in that idea. God has forgiven you. Is there somebody you need to forgive? Paul says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then Paul says Christians are people with wisdom and prudence. At least they have access to it. They're people with wisdom and prudence. It's theirs through Jesus Christ and his word. And the question is this, do you tap into that wisdom? And do you live out your life daily on the basis of its principles? Paul says God is making Jesus Christ the center of the universe. That's the message you have that nobody else knows and that you're to share with them. And it gives to you wisdom and prudence. It makes it all accessible to you. God is making Jesus Christ the center of the universe. Is he at this moment? Is he at this moment the center of your life? These are the questions, powerful ones, from the pen of the apostle that emerge from this passage and probe the hearts of each one of us.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Paul wants us to see what we were. And that should make us thankful when we realize what we've become in Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.